there.
Well, hello.
greetings, gamers. Another fine episode of Gaming's Greatest Generation G3 podcast with the dynamic duo this evening. No Matt. No Matt things. We got known as Ice on the ones and twos. Oh, wait, no. It's going to be me tonight. Switching things up a little bit. You know, some technical difficulties on the other end, so I'm going to jump in and try and sail us home this evening. So I'll get your intros out of the way here. We got the fearless leader here.
What's going on, G3 Nation? It's your boy known as Ice. I'm taking the back seat tonight. I guess like Snipe alluded to. Just shenanigans, man. Just shenanigans on this end. But we got a decent show for you and hopefully a decent conversation. I'm looking forward to getting into it with my man Snipe 90.
Awesome. Awesome. How you feeling? Doing good?
A little. Just slightly sore. A lot of housework today. So just I'll be recouping with this discussion this evening, and just long enough for me to get some sleep and get right back at it doing yard work tomorrow. So gotta get that spring cleaning in, you know.
I feel you. Yeah, I think the wifey's gonna have let's start on the garden tomorrow. So looking forward to that.
Good up for it.
But I'll get my entry out of the way here and
billionaire, unfreaking believable. Hail to the king.
I tell you, we got a little infinite firefight yesterday. A little play through there.
Yeah, I was gonna say, did you guys actually get to play that? How'd that go?
Not too bad. A lot of grunts. It's kind of different from the ODS, but they had like the Fiesta style, then like the regular. But yeah, it's difficult at times. Pretty fun. Something to jump back into.
That's just one of the multiplayer modes in there now, or
yeah, they don't have a private lobby or like a custom game, but yeah. We had like a random. It's not too bad, but
yeah, I'm gonna have to get in on that.
Yeah, of course I had the whole like booting error or whatever, so I had to install the game another 50 gigs later. But after that, it's smooth sailing.
Yeah, Bungie fix it or 343. You can't say Bungie is 343 right? Now. Yeah,
right on. So we got some slow week, I guess you can say. Couple little TV spots, got some Xbox news, and then gonna roll into some our new segments that we introduced last week. So
yeah, man, what do you want to cover first?
Guess we can just get the Fallout out of the way. There's
no getting Fallout out of the way. We gotta get out of the way for Fallout, man.
I'll play a clip in the background here. The TV spot.
Yes, I think they said the show is coming out April 11th, right? So that's next week. And they got a couple of different trailers that they put out for this so far. This one is like one of the, the trailer for the show. One of the more recent ones I saw was... they went ahead and they had an interview throughout, and they had Todd Howard in there, and he was kind of narrating / describing the events leading up to the show, how everybody participating with the show got to have a hand in it and really bring the characters to life. And it was pretty impressive for the fact of how excitedly Todd was talking about it, being his, not his brainchild, but obviously Bethesda went ahead and took over the Fallout IP from way back, but everybody pretty much associates it with Bethesda as a Bethesda IP. And so them getting to bring this forth. I mean, for me, do I think it's going to be as nitty gritty, if you will, as The Last of Us was on HBO? No, but I think this is going to hit just the right tones of Fallout. Like, you can see all of the vivid detail that they put into this, whether it's inside the vault or outside into the Fallout, you know, post-apocalyptic world. You got your different factions, you got your T-1000s, you got all sorts of stuff in here. And I've seen, I don't think we see it in this one as clearly as we do in some other trailers, but they even show some of the monsters and whatnot that you'll find out there, whether it's the Death Claws or just you name it, everything. Well, to maybe not everything, but to a good degree, they have a lot of the Fallout monsters in there. And it's just, to me as a Fallout fan looking at this, I'm ready to be impressed. I'm really ready to look forward to the show coming out. Like we said, we don't have much longer. Coming out next week. Are you excited about it at all? Or
yeah, I am. I had a lot of fun with 3, which seems like this one kind of wraps around. Kind of fell out. I should put a pun in there. Fallout a little bit with 4, but
you fell out of Fallout.
Yeah, yeah. I think I'm not going to go into the game, but yeah, I had a lot of fun with 3. This looks good. Especially being on Prime, I feel like they're coming out with some good stuff lately. So it looks good. It's got some Last of Us vibes, like the scenes and stuff like that. I don't know if they're going to do the whole like one episode a week or sort of thing, or release everything at the same time. But looking forward to it. Something else to watch. Halo just ended. I didn't watch that, but I've been watching the X-Men 97. Just finish up the episode before this episode. It just gives me something else to look forward to on the streaming services.
Yeah, what about, obviously I'm having technical difficulties yet again, with the X-Men 97, like just for my purposes, is that one a week by week, or are you seeing that's...
Every Wednesday.
Okay, so that is coming out week by week. Yeah, the only stuff I know of Prime, I just started getting into, I'm way late in the game for it, but I just started getting into The Boys, and I don't know, because again, I'm so far behind that there's so many seasons that already came out. I don't know if that was a week by week release or if that was, you know, by seasons. So I'm interested to see.
I can't recall either.
Let's put it the other way. Which would you rather this be? Would you rather this be a week by week, or would you rather they just drop the whole thing so you could binge it?
My schedule, I like to have everything and just knock it out.
Yeah.
I kind of like it both ways. But like, you can end up a fine discussion through the week of an episode, reflect on it. And then, everyone's kind of jumping in on there's no like spoilers, you know what I mean? Like nothing you're going to run into on the internet. That's always nice. But if I can just slam a couple episodes through in the evening, yeah, it'd be cool.
That was driving me kind of nuts with the Halo one. Like, I won't give it away if people haven't watched it. If Mullum Down was here, he would try and be all precise and avoid the landmines. I think they did a lot better in season 2. Regardless though, season 1, season 2, regardless of which season they're under, I feel like Halo could have benefited by just the whole thing dropping the week by week. I mean, cool, it's whatever, normal kind of TV practice, if you will, but it wasn't a, and I say this, and I'm kind of beside myself when I say this, as I'm very frustrated having camera issues again. I don't think it was a strong enough show that it warranted going week by week. Now maybe that's, yeah, I don't know. Maybe that's something else.
Well, I mean, I'm a huge Halo guy, and it disappointed me. So,
well, the first season,
yeah,
which, yeah. And I mean, like I said, the second one for me. Well, and like I said, like for to each their own. I was very tenuous about hopping back into season two, and then when I went ahead and I gave it a shot, I was actually pleasantly surprised. I think they did far better in season two. Not to say that it was great, but yeah, I think they did better. Season two is like the redemption arc, and I think season three they are setting up with some very good opportunities if they capitalize on it.
Yeah, I mean, it's something new. I mean, you know, it's a lot to kind of jam in to the, you know, the story and all that. So I get it. And then you only have a certain amount of time and episodes. So just got to brush up on a couple things, and I'm sure they'll get it together.
Oh, my goodness. Sorry, I'm just getting so irritated with the camera stuff over here. I don't know what it is anymore. Okay, so you were saying?
Halo, you know, just get a refresh on the next season, and you know, maybe release some you know, story driven, like, you know, in depth episodes, and
right,
it'll reel me in.
Speaking of stories, not trying to take the show from you here. The next big story is the fact, I guess, that we're finally getting to see ESO after 10 years. So they're having their big 10th anniversary celebration this year. A bunch of folks, influencer types and whatnot, got invited out. Not us, of course, because we're not cool enough. but they got invited out to Amsterdam to go ahead and check out some of the latest developments in the game. And I think, you know, as we were talking about offline, you yourself finally expressed a little bit of interest in maybe diving into that. What do you think about ESO being 10 years old at this point?
So I kind of kicked myself, like, not getting into it sooner. You know, I'm like kind of building my Steam library. So we talked a little bit before the show. I went ahead and got basically the DLC, which is, you know, Elder Scrolls Online, ESO Plus, the Morrowind, Necrom, some other things. I'm trying to read it on the side here. So I'm hoping to jump into that at some point. You know, maybe we'll get together and play a couple hours of that. But Morrowind was my first kind of Elder Scrolls game on Xbox. So, and then of course Skyrim and, you know, all the DLCs for that. And we played it. Well, but 360, was it 360 Xbox? And then I bought it on PC too. So, oops, with the mods and all.
Skyrim, you mean?
Yeah, Skyrim. Yeah. So, yes, it was a decent deal on Steam. I think it was like $29 and maybe I'll just say $30 for all the expansions and DLCs and stuff like that.
Oh, that's not bad. I didn't know it was that deal. Okay.
So, yeah. You,
great. No, get it.
Right? Yeah, I was going to say you got to dabble in that.
Yeah, I mean, I started DSO, several years ago at this point. But it was one of those, like, you know, this is like any of your major MMO type games. Like, when you get in there, like, it behooves you to stay invested and to constantly be working with your character. I'll give credit to Bethesda that they have constantly iterated and improved on ESO to the point where it is wild, the following that it has, right? Like, you went from essentially one map, one area of Cyrodiil, if you will, and then it just kind of expanded and expanded and expanded through the lore. And every area kind of has a slightly different or an altogether different feel to it. And then they've added in the stuff like your mounts, your companions. So even if you're riding in there solo, you're not necessarily always alone. They've got an entire loot system. And then I was super impressed just last year when they were talking about the, I think it was different methods of enchanting and stuff like that that they were adding into the game. And it's going classic kind of Elder Scrolls where there's just levels and layers on how to play the game. And so it's one that I fell out of it, but it's one that I've always, like, it's kind of right there in the back of the head. Like, I need to get back into that game at some point. When I'll have the time for it, I don't know, but I could definitely see myself deeply investing in that game, at least insofar as time and enjoyment.
Yeah, I can, I mean, it's just definitely going to be something that's going to be around, like you said, quite some time. So,
yeah, the part I would love, and this is just me, you know, begrudging, is ESO existed before Bethesda came under the Microsoft or the Xbox banner, and everything seems to be separate, right? Like, there's no X Pass. There's no Xbox Game Pass partnership or perks or privileges or whatever associated with ESO. There's no, hey, you're a subscriber, so you can play ESO for free. There's none of that association. And, I mean, thankfully, it's all about, like, your login and your crossover and stuff like that, because your character should, if memory serves, follow with you wherever you log in, kind of deal. But yeah, I wish it was more connectedness where it was seamless. Like, you know, I'm done playing on the PC. Now I want to move over and either play on a console or maybe play on a mobile. You know, maybe there's an opportunity for us to talk about that later in the show. but yeah, I wish there was just a little more seamless integration there. And dare I say, like, Xbox Play Anywhere type permissions where I buy the DLC in one spot, like a Steam or something like that, but it registers and I have access to do that, to play that DLC elsewhere.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
The privileges, as they like to call it.
Yeah.
And Mo hates to call it.
Yeah, no negative F-class empty mode tonight.
I will say, though, I'm excited because, like I said, the Amsterdam thing that they're celebrating right now, it's on Twitch. I've seen a couple things on YouTube. That's just one of what I thought they said was like three or four different celebrations that were going to go on this year, and at each one they were going to drop more news about ESO's, you know, future. So I don't want to say it has the same type of legs as like a WoW, because that's definitely not a fair comparison. But how passionate the fan base is, how passionate the developers are, you can just see it in the game, and you can see it in all the content that keeps coming out for it. So I'm really excited to see what's next and what's going to be like that thing. I thought it was going to be, like I said, the I wish I could remember what it was called. It wasn't enchantments, but it was something along that same line. I thought that was really going to be the hook to get me in, and it hasn't yet. But then again, I haven't been playing anywhere near as much gaming of any kind as I did years ago. So maybe that's just, you know, par for the course right now. But I'll find the time somewhere. I'm sure you will now too, now that you got it on Steam.
Yes. I've had some... Yeah, the kids are a little older, so I've be able to get some more game time in. So they're doing back to the old celebration roadmap. So they're doing, you know, kickoff this month, May, doing a housing spotlight with NVIDIA. June, they're doing the Gold Road chapter launch in Sweden. July to December, the GamesCon. And then that's in Germany, Japan, China, Australia, in-person events. And then the global reveal of the year with partner celebration, Alienware, NVIDIA, and Xbox. So they got a lot going on.
I told you, man, they're going hard. They're going hard this year. And it's frustrating because, I mean, for me personally, right, I wanted to go to GDC. I've wanted to go to a bunch of these things. The only thing I've gotten to do, at least myself, is TwitchCon. E3 is pretty much gone. So getting opportunities to go to these kind of conventions and get-togethers seems like the thing that we need right now in the games industry and in, you know, game fandom, if you will. But they're hard to come by, especially in the economy the way it is around the world, right? It's pretty hard to find somebody like Microsoft that's willing to go ahead and put down the big bucks to have such a celebration in whole different countries. So hopefully, you never know. Maybe we'll get to do some stuff this summer. I don't know.
Yeah, I'd like to do some little traveling if we could. But we'll see. But want to take the Hellblade news there?
Yeah, I mean, so basically we get to look forward to Hellblade 2 Senua's Saga, or Senua's Saga Hellblade 2, I guess is the appropriate title. It's going to be coming out May 21st, and so pretty exciting. It's basically right around the corner, and Xbox did a big piece on this on Xbox Wire talking about the game. You know, we've got trailer going right now. Thanks for pulling that one up. Everything, basically, they're really, really excited about this game, and just about everything about it is super impressive, from a performance standpoint to a technical standpoint to just everything that you would want to see in a sequel. It seems like they've done it. And all the still shots that we see, the video that plays, I mean, some of this right now, like they're showing the trailer from you know, back when, from 2018, I want to say, when they initially announced that they were doing a sequel. But just about everything that they've done with this game has amped it up a whole couple of notches. And Xbox is really excited about it. I'm actually looking forward to it. Is it a one-for-one? No, but I think this is Xbox's answer to God of War, and really interested to see. Obviously, it's a total different approach, but when you look at it in the sense of the world that Senua resides in, whether it's the giants or now they're showing something else entirely, but whether it's the giants, you know, in the first game, you went after. Now I'm gonna brain fart. You went after two significant big baddies before going after Hela. One of them is, you know, the fire god, and the other one was basically this demon of deception, if you will. I don't want to give away something else. There is somebody else in the game. If you guys have played the game, you know who I'm talking about.
Yeah, let's say I have a month to beat the first one.
Yeah, dude, the first one is a pretty compact. How you play it? I was gonna say how you play it, you'll probably be done in like six hours.
I think I'm about halfway, and I kind of just fell off the wagon.
So. Yeah, it can be a little bit slower. It is meant, at least in my opinion, it's meant for people that are going to dig into the lore and hear all the dialogue and listen to the fairies, you know, kind of going around your head and making you second guess things. But I still think it was a good game. I'm not going to say it was a great game. I want to say for me, Hellblade was between maybe like a 7 and 8. And I realized I bumped it up a notch later. Initially, I was like, man, this is like a 6. And really the big thing was the movement and the combat. And what I didn't realize was the combat is far more intuitive if you actually like do stuff with the controller. And so when I'm going back through, like I'm actually doing it on a PlayStation, because it's that good of a game. I've played it on Xbox, I played it on PC, and now I'm playing it on PlayStation in kind of spare time. I'm just run through now, mind you, I set it to a super easy difficulty too, because I already know the story and everything. So I'm really honestly doing it for trophies. But when you actually, I don't want to say rush through, but when you play a little more aggressively, the controls work favorably to that. Anyways, so to get back to the point of it, though, the lore and everything behind Hellblade is very much the same kind of worlds that you see in God of War, just told obviously through a very different lens, a different kind of storytelling, a different focus insofar as the agenda the characters have. But that's awesome because that lends to creativity. And even if they're in, you know, very similar world space thematically, it still allows for a whole different kind of storytelling. And so, like I said, with everything that we've seen from Metahuman to the combat stuff, you know, I got far more enticed by the combat in Hellblade. So now I'm really looking forward to the sequel. I don't know how long it's going to be by comparison, but when they are talking about this game, it seems like this thing could be like a 30-ish hour game, maybe 20 to 30 hours. I can't remember. I think I heard a speculation on how long it'll actually take to play it. And I'm going to look up while we're talking about it how long to beat, but I don't think anybody has actually entered that, because that would probably be like breaking NDA. But yeah, so I'm looking for it. Looking forward to it, so much so that I already have, I think, a pre-download on the Xbox, and I'll probably try and do that here on the PC as well. Is this anything that floats your boat?
Yeah, if I can get around to it. I feel like I'm dabbling in a little too much here lately, but
there's too much to play. Yeah, nobody's got anything for how long to beat, which I would hope not. So the thing is still a month and a half away.
Yeah. Well, we have other exciting news for the Xbox corner. Bill Spencer went ahead and gave us a little snippet of some info that on a handheld that he'd like us gamers to enjoy here, hopefully soon. It's seeming like the handheld's coming to reality. So, everyone, you got your Switch family, your Steam Deck family, your Logitech Cloud, Lenovo, and ROG Ally. So, all they dipped their toes into the gaming handheld sphere, and Xbox is following suit. So I think it might be I don't know if it's coming out this year or not, but depending on how the product is, I might be jumping on one of those, probably depending on how it looks and the feel, and exactly if I don't want a streaming thing. I just kind of want something physical, like a Steam Deck-ish piece of hardware. But what do you think? You going to get another handheld?
Yeah, I mean, so frankly, I've been fortunate where the only handheld I've got is the Nintendo Switch, right? The sad part is, because of lifestyle and work and yada, 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 like I looked at it and I was very embarrassed that when it did like the year in review, I had literally only played my Switch like 16 hours last year. So that was an absolute slap in the face for me. That being said, I think it comes down to what is compelling about the Switch. Now, for me, the Switch is a Nintendo first party and maybe random third parties that I can get for free with gold coins or whatever kind of platform. It doesn't pull me in. The Nintendo games are great, and don't get me wrong, the Nintendo games are great. They're very enticing. I grew up on that stuff. I almost want to say at some point I grew out of it a little bit. I still have a respect and a fondness for those games. But if you went ahead and you told me, hey, here's the new Mario versus a brand new Halo or a brand new, I don't want to say Horizon because we just got Horizon not long ago. Sure, let's say... another AAA from PlayStation. Like, I'm probably gonna veer in the direction of the latter, just because I am very impressed with tech nowadays and everything. It's very obvious that Nintendo is making use of the tech they have. That being said, I think Xbox is, and there have been a lot of great folks out there that have made allusions to, well, why was the Series S, you know, underpowered? Why this, why that? And I agree with some of the consensus that the Series S was a very strategic play. And I'm going to expand a little bit more than the stuff I've heard. The stuff I've heard was simply, hey, you know, they wanted to see what the interest level would be like for Series S insofar as what the thing could actually do, what the console could actually perform for, in the sake of future planning, right? Because why would you want to play this when you could play on a Series X, yada, yada, yada. I'm going to say that I think Xbox is going for, and I don't want this to be like a hot take, but I feel like it's going to be a hot take. I was thinking about it before the show. So I think a lot of people are under the illusion that Xbox is done with hardware. They're moving away from hardware. I think in actuality, Xbox is a lot more forward-thinking and a lot smarter in this subject than we in general are giving them credit for. And I say that in the sense of they've been moving in this direction for a long time, and people have seen it because they've been very transparent about it. They've been moving in this direction for a long time of like, take your game anywhere, right? The whole point of like, I can play a Gears, I can play a Forza, I can play a Halo on a PC, I can play it on a console, I can play it on a mobile if, you know, the hardware and the control setup exists to support it. I think because Phil Spencer, you know, we're getting a lot of this from the interview that he did with Polygon. I think he has spoken very deliberately in the sense of it's about focusing on the game and not so much on the hardware. And what I think they have tried to do without doing it up to this point is allow third-party manufacturers to go ahead and try to make that situation a reality, right? Where you can have this one device to rule them all. Is that great for competition in the market and everything? No, not at all. But when Phil is talking in this interview, he mentions that same thing about the focus should be on the game, not on the hardware that you're actually playing it on. However, having hardware that can do all the things is very consumer friendly and behooves the gamer that they're going to want to get that piece of hardware. Like, literally the only thing I think holding me back from like a Steam Deck OLED is, one, Steam has not been my primary PC launcher of choice for quite some time. That's just me. Two, I don't want to have this device that it's basically like I have to go through all these different steps in order to get like an alternative launch to launch Epic or Game Pass or GOG or any PlayStation games or whatever, right? So some of the things that Phil said in this interview where he was like, well, wouldn't it be great if you could go ahead and alongside, you know, your handheld of choice, be able to open something like an Epic Games or Steam or this, that, and the other. And so what I think they're doing right now is, especially because we've heard the rumors, right, that the Surface team, the Microsoft Surface team is working on this thing, which I've still got my Surface Book 2 from years ago. And with the exception of like a slightly diminished battery life, that thing is still rocking and it is amazing and I love using it. So I want to give my faith and my trust into the Surface team building this thing. I think the thing that would really send it home for me, basically, yeah, I'll say more or less three things. Number one, having it be that all-in-one platform device, right? If I want to play Steam, I can boot up Steam on this thing. If I want to play my Xbox games in their entirety, not just cloud-based Game Pass games, like my actual Xbox library that I've invested time and money into, I would like to be able to boot that up. You know, if there's an opportunity maybe for other stuff like Epic Games or GOG or somewhere down the line PlayStation, or maybe I'll just end up playing the PlayStation stuff through Steam. I think that ubiquity, having it be the godlike platform or device that I can boot all that stuff. And then three, and you kind of alluded to it before, I don't want it to be entirely cloud-based. I don't necessarily want it to be handicapped where I have to have a connection to a cell provider. And I also don't want to be handicapped in the sense of I have to be on like a local Wi-Fi or connected to my device, like with a PlayStation Portal. Like I've thought about it where literally if I went ahead and I jumped on a Vanpool to work, right? Because I'm a little ways out there when I go to work. I would like that opportunity to seamlessly go, cool, I'm going to close my game right here on my Xbox, because we all play, you know, video games before we go to work. And then pick up that handheld device moments later on that Vanpool and not have to worry about connection, not have to worry about anything. I can play that same game because it had the opportunity at least to sync via the Wi-Fi or whatever. And then when I go out to no man's land and maybe I have signal interrupts, it'll still be good as I unlock achievements or trophies or what have you, that when I come back into an area with positive cell or Wi-Fi signal, it's going to sync up all my stuff seamlessly. Like, I think we're at that point where technology, I shouldn't have to be, as a consumer, I shouldn't have to be handicapped to a cell provider or a Wi-Fi, or just give me the option to kind of blend. And so to that point, I'm being long-winded on this, how you said, hey, it'd be great to see it this year. I'm going to give credit to kind of funny XCast, because I was listening to them earlier this week, and I think they hit it on the head. Like, if we're already looking, if the court documents and stuff that came out with the ABK acquisition are anything to go by, and we're talking about the new Xbox generation maybe starting as soon as 2026, I don't see them coming out. And the kind of funny guys kind of said similarly, I don't see them coming out with this hardware now, as opposed to in 2026, so that they could kind of do the and I think very much they saw and took notes on what Switch did, right? And that's why I talk so much about Nintendo in the beginning. I think they saw what Switch did, where it just drove people in masses, because it was literally built to be a dockable and mobile option. A lot of these other handhelds don't have that. Like, sure, you have opportunities with Steam Deck to dock it. Sure, you have opportunities with ROG Ally to dock it. I would say it's part of, but it wasn't like the real part of the design. I feel more like those were add-ons with the intent of really maximizing the appeal of the device versus being built in as part of the functionality. And I think Xbox has been taking notes this whole time. They've heard the shade that people have said about, you know, hardware stuff along the lines. They've heard a lot of the clamoring that, yeah, I would love to have my stuff and not have to try and read it in, you know, 0.8 font or try to, like, literally just for grins, I went ahead and on the cloud through Game Pass Ultimate, I tried to do a little bit of progress on Firewatch, the indie game that I was playing earlier, and it was so difficult for me with the touch control. Like, I can't stand using touch controls on my phone because I'm that guy who, good, bad, or indifferent, I just slam the joystick forward, backward, whatever, and expect that movement, you know, to come of it. And obviously, if it's something a little more, a game that's more sensitive with that, I'll be more sensitive with it. But there's no way of having that kind of tactile feedback on a touchscreen. And so even though I have the opportunity of syncing a controller to my phone and doing it that way, then again, I'm in the drawback of, this is a big screen, but this is not big enough for my eyes to really appreciate everything that that game has to offer. So I think Xbox has also heard a lot of that feedback. And heck, for all we know, that may be part of what we also heard, that they could potentially be doing away with, like, the cloud gaming piece. Could be wrong. That might be a little conjecture. But I think, again, pointing to the stuff that Kind of Funny said, just because I don't want to steal credit where it's due, I think 2026 timeframe, we'll go ahead and we'll see a monster platform, that being a console, maybe a PC Lite, if you will, that Xbox brings forward with the intent on, like, this being your amazing graphics and yada, yada, yada. And then they'll have the junior, the more family friendly, the Switch like option, more affordable option in this handheld that has the opportunity to go dockable and potentially even up-res from there. Super long-winded, but to your point, I think the hardware we're going to see this year is probably that diskless or the all digital Series X, which, I mean, what is that besides a Series S with a beefed up graphics and beefed up hard drive, right? So
I think it's just going to be, if we do see that, it's just going to be a little placeholder and until, you know, Surface, you know, releases their I'm hoping it's just a little computer, you know, maybe it has a little kickstand on it. Yeah, you can, you know, put a controller on there, Bluetooth, and, you know, it has Windows, and it's, you know, like you said, or like whoever said it, it's not solely cloud, it has internal storage, graphics, and all that stuff. So we'll hope for the best. I think they're taking their time. I think they're really trying to hit the nail on the head with, like, moving into this gaming sphere.
I mean, agreed. I'll tell you what, though, if they do go ahead and manage to hit that nail on the head and they get this product that can be kind of the best of both worlds, if you will, like a dockable PC / console that you could launch not only your Xbox stuff, but if you happen to have other platforms, again, like Steam or Epic Games or GOG or whatever, Battle.net, if it lets you do that, 100%, I'm throwing money down. As long as it's a realistic price point. And to that, I'm going to toss it back to you. What do you think, with all of these specs and hopes that we're saying we want this thing to do, which I think are all realistic, honestly, what do you think is that asking price that they could push and feel comfortable pushing?
If it is computer-like, like with standalone apps and stuff like that, I could see an easily, depending on hard drive space and screens and stuff like that. I don't know if they're going to have optional screens for like OLED and all that. But, easily 500.
Yeah, that's exactly where I was going to say. I think it's wild to say $500 for a handheld, but like you look at the ROG Ally, right? And that thing has two different iterations, and the lower spec or the baseline model is already, I think that one was like 500, and then the higher spec was like 7. And the biggest drawback of that thing, aside from the fact that it's like running Windows and it's a little clunky and whatnot, is the fact of battery life. It all comes back to the battery life.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I'm really hopeful that that is something else. Do I think that Microsoft or Xbox is going to throw solid state batteries into this thing? No, not by any stretch. But I would love to see, again, like my Surface Book 2, that thing rocks. And when I got it initially, I mean, I was looking at upwards of 12 hours using it, and that's a laptop, right? Before it needed to get charged again. If memory serves, it was 12 hours plus. So I'm looking forward to whatever they can come up with. But yeah, if they can make it so it's not like a giant like Sega Genesis or Sega Game Gear, you know, where you got to put in like 4 AA batteries and just barely get 2 hours out of it.
The screen battery life, the thing was a killer.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy. But, you know, I think to your point, and we can probably draw that conversation to a close here soon, I think we've seen that whether Nintendo would be willing to go ahead and acknowledge it, I think we've seen that OLED is the way to go, if for nothing else, because it actually uses less battery power or less power in general to light up that screen than a traditional LED. So yeah, I think OLED would be a really good take for them.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, like they might have the, I don't know what they're going to call it, but if it's, you know, Microsoft labeled, like, just say blank, and then they'll have like a blank Pro or, you know what I mean? Like something a little extra.
Just are we doing the names right now? Okay.
Yeah,
what
are we going to name? I don't know. I was saying something Pro would be like the top end.
Oh, okay. I'm like, I've heard Xbox Series P, Xbox Series N, because they got the series name already, right? Like, yeah. Are you going to go
ahead? Is it going to be Xbox labeled or is it going to be Microsoft?
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. Sorry, as I sit here and troubleshoot my camera yet again, I wouldn't be surprised if it was to be a dual. And I say that in the sense of something like literally Microsoft's Xbox, whatever, right? Kind of like iPhone, although that's not like a great example, but iPhone is like a brand unto itself under Apple. So it's the Apple iPhone, whatever. Yeah, I think you could probably see a similar thing where it's Microsoft's Xbox Series, you know, whatever. Pip-Boy. that would be funny if you could go ahead and, yeah, that'd be too much. It'd be like, oh, that'd be awesome. Okay.
It's safe to say we'll table that for next week's comes up. So we're going to do our next segment, our new segment. Got a visual for you guys this week. Of the This Day in Gaming. We're going to roll back to looks like some early 2000s. We got a couple 90s titles in there.
Yeah, any of those stand out to you, ones that you played
before? Yeah, I was going to ask the same. I mean, Broforce, we played recently. But
are you looking for April 6th or 7th?
7th. This is 7th. Yeah.
Oh, you're looking at 7th. Okay.
Yeah.
I was looking at 6th.
Right, cool. Okay. So. Yeah, we can go to the previous day. So 6th, we have a couple more things that I probably have played. Game Boy Color, Game Boy Advance sort of things, and then Close Combat, you probably played that. Oddworld. Not a lot of like big names for the yesterday and today.
Yeah, it's you know, they all can't be headliners, so to speak. That being said, I'll just point out Xenoblade Chronicles on here, first coming out on the Wii 12 years ago in 2012. I did not get to play it at that time. I did not have a Wii. However, I've got the definitive edition on Switch, the device that I played a total 16 hours last year. I've got that, and I think I have all three: Xenoblade Chronicles Definitive Edition, Xenoblade Chronicles 2 and 3 on Switch. So, like, you know, you're talking that's a whole other can of worms right there. Those games are like 100 plus hours each, some really quality JRPGs. So at some point, I will truly invest some time and energy into those, because I'm now in this mind share where I want to enjoy everything that the developers put forward with the title. So I want to probably play those beginning to end to a good extent. But nothing on that list came out historically.
Yeah, sadly, nothing really jumps out at me that I've spent a lot of time with. Okay. Han Montana, the movie. Course on DS.
Oh yeah, I mean, you got, yeah. You gotta.
Man. I remember that was like hopefully the new Xbox or Microsoft handheld, it's like the 3DS. Like, I was so excited to get that thing. It's like the next generation of handheld gaming.
But what was appealing about it though? The dual screen or the actual like 3D?
Oh, Sorry. DS.
Okay.
Yeah. So like the DS, and I was like, oh, it's got, you know, cartridges, yeah, like the Game Boy.
I was like, I've got that bad boy here somewhere.
It's got two screens. Like, they implemented the whole like map thing at the bottom and the game. It was like this whole thing. I was like, man, this is awesome.
This is it. All right. Cool. Cool. Well, just like in looking back at history, we got some stuff to look forward to, right?
We do. Yeah, that time of show. Got some release radar.
That's my favorite part of the show. We start talking about stuff coming up.
Right. So we have screen here. We'll go April. I think we left off at the Rogoff.
I was just going to start April 9th because that's right around the corner.
So we got Botany Manor, Children of the Sun, PC, Gigantic Rampage Edition, on all the things, Inkbound, PC, House Slipper 2. I believe that's on Game Pass. Let's Revolution, all the things. Slave Zero X, Switch, Grounded. Grounded. That's like the full game now, right?
I think that's going to be, so, you know, coming out on PlayStation and on Switch platforms now. So all those PlayStation folks can get to check it out, but that should be the fully yoked edition, which is like basically the game of the year type thing, as far as I understand it.
Yeah. Okay. And then Herald Hellebutt, PlayStation 5, Xbox Series, PC, Planet of Lana, Rose and Camellia Collection, and we'll stop at Final Fantasy, Rising Tide.
All right. Final Fantasy 16, Rising
Tide. Now you're excited for Grounded, but anything else?
Yeah, I mean, I played Grounded on Xbox. I'm really happy that other folks are going to get to try it out. I will say, if there's ever a game that just felt right for the Switch, it would be grounded, right? It's you know, the Honey I Shrunk the Kids kind of set up it, because it lends to like the family friendly nature, and like you can dial back for arachnophobia and stuff like that. You can make it very, very kid friendly. And again, like, good, bad, or indifferent, I associate the Switch as Nintendo's offering for families and for kids. You know, stuff for adults too, but very much geared towards kids. Like, here, take the Switch and shush in the back seat. So Grounded is right up that alley. Unfortunately, that's probably the only thing on the list that I am looking forward to. And again, I'm looking forward to other people getting to play it. But what about you? Anything on the list?
Sadly, no.
Womp womp.
I will say, I did get into Princess Peach Showtime recently. That recently came out a week or two ago. I have some reserves. Sadly. Uh-oh. It's a little choppy. The story is like kind of non-existent. It's just I don't know. I'm a little early still, but I don't know. Maybe I'll get a full review next week.
I wonder if, and we look forward to that full review, but I wonder if Nintendo kind of got somewhere in the back halls. They got, I don't want to say full of themselves, but they got high on their own supply.
And it seems a little rushed.
Here, you know, here we talk about, we got the Mario movie. Cool. I'll say good movie, not necessarily a great movie, but a good movie for, you know, a new installment in the movie and TV adaptation. But now it's like, we heard there's a Zelda one coming out. I think, didn't they say there's like a Smash Bros. Movie that's coming out? Like, it almost seems like they're trying to capitalize on all the IP they can, you know, as quickly as possible, right? Which, when you do that, like, fantastic, but like, I hate saying it. I think Peach and Toad and to some degree Bowser were always like supporting characters. Whether or not they could pull off their own individual game or individual film or TV adaptation, like,
well, I think that's the problem. Like, there's no real like antagonist that you're used to,
right?
This game, so like, they just kind of threw in this random guy, like, oh, here's a story. So like, you're not used to the whole like, oh, here's Mario, here's Bowser.
You know? Right. Good fan.
Yeah.
But okay.
It's you know, for the new age, you know, movie based, you know, little kids, right? So get some good reviews.
Okay.
Other than that,
I was gonna say, what you've been playing, yeah, other than that.
Yeah, other than that, played some Sandstorm last night, some Firefight Infinite.
Ooh, they said Sandstorm, Insurgency Sandstorm?
Insurgency Sandstorm, sorry. Okay. They gave away, I don't know if they gave away, but they, Halo Infinite, for the update, you get a bunch of armors and stuff. So it's kind of like, cool. You know, you don't have to spend a bunch of money on, you know, some visuals. But they still have some microtransactions, but they do have, they give, you know, the players a couple things, so it's nice to get back to. If you ever get in there. Other than that, I've been playing some Peach, Watermelon Game, of course. Play a little Sudoku today. Trying to get back in Helldivers and Diablo 4, so dabbling in a couple things. Yeah, you got to get you in there, get you.
Yeah, I just started. Had an update to it earlier, so hoping to do something.
Get in there, and I have two characters going. I have a necromancer and a druid currently, but I can always start something else. It's okay. Fun. I like it. It's a good game. Okay. I'm glad they were able to bring it to Game Pass for a lot of folks that really didn't get a chance to, you know, dabble in the franchise early on. And, like I said before, I ended up buying it and enjoying it. So, you know, my happy little trigger finger on purchases. But, yeah, but you say Spire. What you got? Did you finish Firewatch?
Yeah, so I finished Firewatch. I think it's a good game. I think it's very narrative driven. You know, you could honestly, in hindsight, they say it's like a 5-hour game. You could blast through that thing so quick. Are you going to absorb the story? Probably not. But I think it's a good little something something. I went ahead and finished it and 100%ed it. I also went back into Marvel's Midnight Suns. I'm starting to see, I had to YouTube one or two things because the certain mechanics in that game can get very deep, which is humbling because it's not, because it's deeper than I initially thought it was. So I was dabbling in that a little. I don't think I touched Slay the Spire this week. There was something else. Oh, I went ahead. I don't know how we didn't realize, or I forgot, that I had actually bought Overcooked 2 on Xbox probably some time ago. And the wife just randomly earlier this week was like, can we play some Overcooked? And I was just like, yes, I would love to. One thing led to another, and I booted up Overcooked 2, and like an achievement popped. And I was like, wait, what? And then I realized, like,
instantly hooked.
Yeah, well, I realized that, like, we had played so much on PlayStation and, you know, unlocked all the trophies over there. I think I did it both so we could replay something and there would be a little something for me in it besides just playing the same game over and over with my wife. So, yeah, basically that's probably going to be, I don't know how many weeks of my life going forward. But that said, there's also somewhere in the near future, I don't want to go too on tangent, but it's somewhere in the near future, there's going to be a big addition in my household, not a baby, but a big addition in my household that will take me away for weekends at a time. I'm going to start to do some more travel and whatnot. So yeah, that's that there's a whole other tangent about that. I don't know how soon it's coming. It's a new car. I don't know how soon it's coming. People are like, what is it? But yeah, I'm going to try and be getting out there more, which may mean, you know, I'm going to be taking a step back here and there from the show because I'll be out in the wilderness doing things. So yeah.
It's that Overland Prius edition they're coming in.
Yeah, totes.
Folks didn't know.
Totes. May or may not look a little something like this.
Oh, snap. we'll have to have a live review of purchase and, you know, first road test and all that.
I may or may not have purchased a drone. I'm checking all my GoPro equipment, you know, stuff that doesn't break on me, like apparently my motherboard or whatever is going on with this camera. Yeah, so there's a whole separate tangent with that, but I'm going to try and get as much gaming in as I can. Like I said, especially Marvel's Midnight Suns. Oh, I did boot up Ark Survival Ascended briefly, like just long enough because it had like a 50 gig update right away as soon as I downloaded it. So I booted it up just long enough to basically build my character and stand there on the beach. And then my wife asked me for help with something, and I was like, to be continued. So, but it's I set it up on like a single player, you know, like all the mods in my favor kind of deal. So, or all the whatever the stats in the player's favor. So I'll basically like be chopping down trees with one hit and all that. Because the big yoke dude and.
Big yoke dude, tiny loincloth.
That burnt skin.
Yeah, dude, get so you gotta make some clothes. You're gonna get sunburned out there, you know.
Right on. Well, that's good. Yeah, get your get some new stuff going. Big news on the horizon. Maybe you take your new Xbox Series P Pro on your journeys.
Oh, that is a thought. If not, I'll be bringing the Switch. I'll be getting a way more game time with the Switch.
There you go. Other than that, you got anything else?
That's it for me, baby.
All right, that's a good one. Other than the long-winded discussion. Sorry. But we're right on time.
Mo wasn't here. I had to make up some time. We didn't get to hear about capitalism and the downfall of the human society.
Yeah. Right on. But other than that, we thank you for listening, viewing, like, subscribe, smash that like button, notifications, whatever you got to do. And we'll see you next week. Again, Gaming's Greatest Generation is when you guys are a part of. Wrong one.